You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Christopher Broberg claims his first European Tour title at the BMW Masters in Shanghai.
It's a dream come true. Worked so hard all my life for this. Just so happy right now. If you win once, you can win more tournaments. That's what I did on a challenge tour. So maybe next year's going to be even better.
We'll hear more from Broberg in a few minutes' time. The Swede's victory came with a birdie at the first extra hole of a playoff against Patrick Reed.
Of course, we're not happy and not pleased with the result, but at the end of the day, if you would have told me I would come over and finish second, boy, I wouldn't have even teed that this week. I would have just taken it in the left.
Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy is still top of the Race to Dubai rankings, just after a tied 28th finish in China for his closest challenger, Danny Willett.
If we go there next week and we win, you know, we win. It's one of them where it's a good situation to be in. So, you know, we could have put a bit of space there this week. But like I said, you know, we just really, really struggled on the green. So that's going to put us not far behind him at all.
A full review of the BMW Masters is on the way. Then we'll start the build-up to what looks set to be a thrilling climax to the season at the DP World Tour Championship as McIlroy, Willett and the rest battle it out to win the 2015 Race to Dubai. Hello, I'm Robert Lee and I'm with Gordon Brand Jr. A thrill as always, not only for me, but all of you listening as well. Gordon, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robert. Pleased
How
to be here.
How good was the third event in the run of four final series, the BMW Masters?
It was absolutely fantastic. BMW Masters with lots of late challenges and some great names in the field.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Broberg with Bjerregaard, the two Scandinavians trying to win for the first time in the European Tour. A lot of pressure on them, Gordon.
Well, I think to get over the line first time is incredibly important, but it's very tough as well. But he stood his ground, he's getting a playoff and, you know, 15-footer to win. Dream, really.
It's a challenging golf course, but you can make some birdies on the way and if you can hit your shots into the right segments of the greens.
Well, it's a Nicklaus course and we all know what Nicklaus says, almost four greens within a green. So if you hit your target, then a great chance. But if you don't, it's a struggle.
You know, Casey, Reed, Garcia, Jaidi, all veterans of many, many, many wins around the world. You probably wouldn't have necessarily picked Bjerregaard or Broberg to win with those breathing down their necks.
No.
You know, to break through for the first time.
No, I would sort of agree with you there, but then you've got to break through at some time. And I think just sometimes it's your week. The right things happen at the right time. So, you know, to be in a playoff as well is an incredibly nervous position to be in because it's a shootout.
That last hole, really testing par four, water all the way down the left-hand side. And if you bail right into the rough, you're going to be 200 yards from the hole and with an iffy lie. So you have to commit on the tee shot. And Broberg in the playoff, he must have been 320 yards down there, you know, down the tight line. Fantastic tee shot.
When you're challenging for a tournament, I think it's you have to be brave sometimes. You can't just, I'll put it here. You know, you have to stand on the tee and say, I'm going to win this golf tournament. And so to win it in that fashion, guy's got a future.
Well, there were so many stories building up to the Broberg win. Patrick Reed held an amazing bunker shot a horrible one, about 100 yards.
On 15.
Yeah. All bunker to carry, very little green, and he pitched it behind a hole and sucked it straight back into the cup. And it was an amazing shot.
Well, I mean, there's always a little bit of luck when the ball comes back into the hole. If you're running into the hole, you can see. But that's the sort of things these guys do, you know, that they're no slouches. And, you know, all of a sudden, a wonder shot brings him back into the tournament.
That's right. But then he missed a short putt he should have held at 17. That was his mistake. He couldn't better Broberg, 17 under par, had to settle for the playoff. Stenson had an amazing back few holes, 11, 13, 14, 15 and 16, all birdied, Gordon, but couldn't find one more.
Well, no, I mean, you know, he would be saying, oh, I had a chance on 17, 18, but hang on a minute, you've made some great birdies there. And so your run can't continue at that sort of stage in the tournament.
A lot of people came to that last hole, Jaidi, Bjerregaard, Casey, needing a birdie at that 18th to get it done, to get into the playoff, but very difficult hole, which Broberg managed to, in the first extra hole, birdie.
Yeah, well, I mean, Casey's found the water there and bogeyed 18, Jaidi birdied 17, but I think to have a strong finishing hole is really great because two good shots, you still got a birdie, but there's also a chance of a real mess-up as well.
Are you a man that likes then a testing par four to finish or, you know, the sort of eagle situation par five to finish?
I like both, actually, because...
You know you can't have both, don't you? It's only one hole.
Yeah, well, you said, which would I like? But I said I would like both.
Yeah.
Because I think they both open up a different door, as you say. A par five, you've got a chance of making your eagle. But also, I think an 18th hole, which is really, really strong, really tests your ability to cope with the pressure.
So different doors being opened.
Yeah, because look at Wentworth, the 18th there, you know, there is a chance of making an eagle. But then if you've got a really, really tough, say, the last at Carnoustie, which is a par four.
Par six, that.
Well, it can, yeah, well there you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's challenging because you have to hit the shots. You can't get away with anything.
Yeah.
So I like both aspects.
Okay, but you didn't actually pick one that you like more.
Okay, I'll take the real challenging hole that takes a drive and a 3-iron into the heart of a tough green and two putts.
In a par four situation.
In a par four situation.
Here's the thing. The last hole there was, I don't know, 470 odd yards, whatever it was. Broberg driving a 9-iron.
Well, I don't think they can create a golf course where they're going to go with a 4-iron in unless it's nearly 600 yards.
He's like 320 and then he's got you get about 179-iron or something like that.
But, you know, I would have been hitting a 4-iron in there.
Oh, your third. Yeah. An amazing win, though. What does it do for him, then? Because he's been a player he's been out there a little while, Christopher Broberg, and he's not had success all the way through. It's taken time for him to get to this position on the European Tour. What does it mean for him?
It means, obviously, his card next year and chances of getting in the WGC events. I mean, he's come off the Challenge Tour. He's won 4 times on the Challenge Tour and the Nordic League he's won on 4 there. So, as you said, he's done his time.
So he can win. We know that.
I mean, I'm not saying it's easy to win on Challenge Tour, but, you know, when you're up against these sort of guys in this tournament, it was over €1 million.
Yeah.
You know, does that come into your mind? He done it. So, you know, what he'd be looking for is, can he make the Ryder Cup team in 2016?
Absolutely. Let's hear what he's got to say. He's talking to Nick Dye.
It's a dream come true. Worked so hard all my life for this. Just so happy right now. No words. It's just happy.
Well, you've come so mightily close on a few occasions after that great graduation from the Challenge Tour. Is it building progress? Is it one of those experience things you've got to get used to getting things?
Of course. If you win once, you can win more tournaments. That's what I did on the Challenge Tour. So I just won once and I won another one. So I just kept me going. So maybe next year's going to be even better.
What's the story of this week? How did you produce this victory?
I come into this week and didn't play that great in the last couple of events. So I just play smart, easy, middle of the green the first two rounds. And yesterday I just aim on every pin. I just knock a few putts in. So I'm just happy right now.
And was that what really kick-started things, that wonderful low round yesterday, and give you some belief and self-confidence?
No, my main goal was to keep me to get into the final next week. So I get into this event with no expectations. I'm just happy to win this event. So I don't know.
Well, I imagine it's good to win anything, but to win something that's in the final series with all these points, world ranking, with the financial gains that you'll get, it's all the more terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, now I can buy a new car, maybe. But I ordered a new car last week, so I'm just maybe change that one to another one.
But your thoughts going into the final event of the series now, then?
Oh, it's going to be nice to see my girlfriend next week, so I just want to go there, relax, few days, and it's a tournament on the first day, isn't it?
Well done, Christopher Broberg, and plainly very ambitious, and you can come back next year and we'll see if he gets on a run like he did in the Challenge Tour. One win begets another. We shall see. It's his first European Tour title on the big stage, so well done to him. He's up to 12th on the Race to Dubai and could move to just outside the top 60 in the official world golf rankings from 149. That's a big, big leap, and then once you get in the world's top 50, you are cooking, that's for sure, with gas. It's the 100th Swedish win in European Tour history, and Broberg is the 30th different Swede to take a European Tour title. Now let's hear from the man who Broberg beat in the playoff, Patrick Reed, talking about his final round.
I knew I had to go shoot a low number, and I had two mud balls, one on 8, kind of hooked it left, and missed a short putt, and then I had a putt on 17. I hit a good iron shot, just had one too many clubs, and thought I hit a good chip, and hit a perfect putt and didn't go in, and unfortunately left the putt short on 18, and fortunately in the playoff left the bunker shot short that I didn't think was possible. So it is what it is. Of course, we're not happy and not pleased with the result, but at the end of the day, if you would have told me I would come over and finish second, boy, I wouldn't have even teed it up this week. I would have just taken it and left. So it was a solid week, and just have to build on it and do things just a little better to get in the winner's circle. My last 7 events, I finished inside the top 10 5 times. So obviously it shows the things I'm working on is you know, getting better, because last year it seemed like I started off strong with a win, but kind of was flat throughout the rest of the year until this end run. So, you know, we're doing the right things, just need to keep on plugging along and hopefully close one out here shortly.
Well, it might be the very next week for Patrick Reed, because he's playing. He's taking part as a European Tour member in the DP World Tour Championship. Now, four players tied for third place, one shot back on 16 under par. One was Denmark's Lukas Bjerregaard, who's regularly been near the top of the European Tour leaderboards over the past couple of months. He set the early pace in the final round before slipping back, but a birdie at the final hole could still have seen him into the playoff.
Hit a great drive off on 18 and just got really caught on a downhill lie in between numbers. I just hit a bad shot there, unfortunately. Played all right times today. I thought I played better on the front nine. Again, it was like yesterday. Didn't make the putts that I did Thursday, Friday. Doesn't feel good right now. I feel like playing well the last few months. I'm better when I'm in contention now than I was previous. So I felt like I had a good chance out there today. So right now it doesn't feel great, but all in all, it's still a good week.
Bjerregaard's going to be another Henrik Stenson. He's going to win big tournaments, Lukas Bjerregaard. He's got a very similar game, powerful off the tee, and you can see that he's getting into contention more. It's coming for him.
Yes, Lukas has spent his time on tour, and now he's learning very well on tour. And so we shall look out for Lukas in the future.
Well, as it was a tenuous link to Henrik Stenson, let's talk about the big sweet. He tied third after five birdies and six holes on the back nine.
Played really nicely on the front nine, hit it close a couple of times, didn't make any putts, and then made a mess out of the seventh and bogeyed that one. So things weren't really looking good at that point, but managed to keep on playing good, really, on the back nine and hit some lovely shots and started making birdies, and it's a good rehearsal for next week for sure. I'm really looking forward to coming back to Dubai, trying to win that one for a third time in a row, and played nicely throughout the week and just need to make a few more on the greens.
Yeah, talk about birdie maker. He's just so many under par at that Dubai event. It's incredible. I think more than 40 over the two runs last 2 years. He's some boy. Overnight leader Tongchai Jaidi of Thailand and playing partner Ann were the others who tied for third place. Both missed putts on the final hole that would have seen them into a playoff. Here's the Korean.
Made a nice birdie on 17. At least I have a chance going to the 18. And I had a great chance, but just misread it a little bit. It was a great putt, so it happens. I've been playing well. It feels like today wasn't my best day. And hopefully next week I'll have four best days. And I think I'll be in contention again.
I tell you what, talking of good young players, Anne's a tremendous player as well.
I watched him at the BMW Championship this year at Wentworth. And yes, he was extraordinary. I mean, up and downs and iron shots. He was cool as a cucumber, yeah. But the only time he showed some emotion was when the putt went in to win. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's a superb young talent. He really is. Now, the top 10 at the BMW Masters runs like this. Christopher Broberg with a win, Patrick Reed in second place, and Bjerregaard, Jaidi and Stenson all tied for third. Paul Casey seventh alongside Justin Rose and Søren Kjeldsen and Julian Ken, creditable top 10s. And what about the fantasy race to Dubai tips? Jamie Spence, in your absence, Gordon, went for Patrick Reed to finish second. Brandon Grace, 22nd. We both had two goes. And I went for Emiliano Grillo and Bernd Wiesberger, who both tied 24th. And in the other game that we played, can you get two players that tie on the same score? I win.
Yeah, but Spence, he beat you twice.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Thank you very much. But we could gloss over that and think, you know, the greater thing, the harder thing to do is to get two players that finished on the same score. I thank you. OK, let's hear from Danny Willett, who had a great chance to leapfrog the absent Rory McIlroy at the top of the Race to Dubai standings, but a 28th tied finish leaves him just 1,613 points behind after a frustrating week in Shanghai.
This week's just been very stale again. Hit it good, just putted pretty poorly for 4 days and never really got anything going. Just struggled a bit and one of those things. I think it's going to be close, but you know, if we go there next week and we win, you know, we win. It's one of them where it's a good situation to be in, so try and take a few positives, even though, you know, I feel like it could have been, you know, we could have put a bit of space there this week. But like I said, you know, we just really, really struggled on the green. So, but at no point today was I thinking about the Race to Dubai. I was thinking about trying to hold putts and trying to hit good shots. It's a strange one, really. You think that you probably will think about it, but you're either frustrated or you're happy with how the game is at that moment in time on, you know, on that particular day. And unfortunately, today, you know, the last 2 days have been pretty disappointing scoring for where we've actually hit it. So, you know, we could have had a really, really good weekend, but we haven't. So probably guessing that's going to put us not far behind him at all.
Well, Danny Willett obviously got close to Rory McIlroy, had a great chance to get past him, didn't take it. However, pretty much neck and neck going into the final event in Dubai this week. No doubt about that. Now, what about Justin Rose? He could have moved to the top of the Race to Dubai had he finished second or won, but tied seventh in Shanghai sees him third in the standings going into the final event.
Certainly no one ahead of me seems to be playing better than me, so maybe I've caught up a little bit of ground on Rory and Danny and stuff like that. But, you know, it's going to be very tight going into Dubai. I'm going to need to win that week, I think, now. Iron play was terrible this week, which for me is normally the strength of my game. So if I can sharpen that up going into Dubai, I feel very good about everything else.
Well, the top 10 in the Race to Dubai rankings is like this. You know that Rory McIlroy and Danny Willett are just over 1,500 points apart. Rory at 1, Danny at 2, Justin Rose 3rd, Shane Lowry 4th, Louis Oosthuizen 5, Brandon Gray 6th, Arne 7th, Tongchai Jaidi 8th, Bernd Wiesberger 9th, and Victor de Buisson rounds out the top 10. And there's plenty of players in there, Gordon, who you'll find out in a minute can go ahead and win this with the last event to come.
Well, there certainly is, Robert. I mean, you're going to have, I really think, Rory, Danny and Rose having a very, very poor week to bring the rest in contention.
Mm. Now, there are players, obviously, that can win the Race to Dubai. But last week, the important thing was getting into the field itself in Dubai. 60 players take part in that. It's the top 60. For some peculiar reason, Sergio Garcia decided not to play in the curtain closer. I don't know why. The course, I would have thought, suits him very well. So, because he's not playing, the 61st guy gets in, and his name was Stephen Gallagher. So he gets a really good break, and Scott Hend and Graham Storm force their way in after finishing 17th and 24th, respectively. So it's going to be a top, top field for the last event of the season. I know you're a fan of the Earth course, Gordon. Lots of risk and reward, and again, greens that have areas you've got to be in the right position on.
Well, that's it's something we were talking about earlier, is risk and reward, how difficult the holes are and where you're going to put the ball as well. So it's going to be a great championship.
Yeah, and if you're a long high ball hitter, a.k.a. McIlroy, it doesn't half help. Stenson doesn't half help.
Yeah. Won it the last 2 years, 40 under par.
There you go. Now, in the fancy race to Dubai, it was Ali McPeak who had the best week, with Broberg as the star player and Reid also on the team. Ali amassed 4.2 million points. As for the overall standings, Gareth Clayton remains top of the leaderboard with just one event left. He now has a 200,000-point lead over Derek Burke with 8 million points up for grabs at the DP World Championship. Check out my European Tour from Tuesday for this week's Fancy Five to watch. Now, in other news on the PGA Tour, the final round of the OHL Classic at Mayakoba will be completed on Monday because of bad weather. Northern Irishman Graham McDowell and last week's European Tour winner Russell Knox currently have a two-shot lead over the field. The delay in Mexico also means that the world rankings have yet to be updated for the week. Meanwhile, the final stage of Q School is underway at the PGA Catalunya Resort in Spain. Go to europeantour.com for live scoring on the six rounds as players try to earn their full European Tour cards for the 2016 season. And on to this week's action, and the climax of the 2015 Race to Dubai is, of course, the DP World Tour Championship, which has been won by Henrik Stenson for the past 2 years. That alone, Gordon, is an amazing feat.
Well, it's a golf course, as you say, that's going to suit certain players. Long and high, Stenson's 40 under par for that championship. 47 birdies is made, 7 bogeys. It's a course, horses for courses. And last week he finished well up there as well, so he's on form, 16 under at the BMW Masters. So he's on form.
He is going to a place he loves. Yeah. But the Race to Dubai itself is far from over because it's not just Rory versus Danny, with Rose, Lowry, Oosthuizen and Grace all knowing that a victory could be good enough to secure them the coveted crown, while Ben Ahn also retains an outside chance as well. Well, the course is, it's lots of birdies, Gordon. I mean, I suppose that's the way you'd like it for the closing event.
I think you've got to make it exciting, not, you know, over-challenging. I give the guys a chance to play. It's a showpiece event, the last one of the year. You want to see, you know, someone come down the last stiff in a three-wood to win the championship. Give them a chance. So with that many players, with a chance to win the Race to Dubai, it's going to be great.
Does Stenson turn up, you know, with the previous two wins in his back pocket, feeling a sense of entitlement because he's done that? Or does he turn up and just think, it's another fresh week, we just see what happens this week?
I think he will, obviously, the history and the memories he will have, he will know the golf course like the back of his hands, like his home golf course. So he's going to feel great going into that event. But he still has to play great.
Yeah, he sure does. There are 22 different countries represented amongst the 60 players. 27 winners from the 2015 European Tour season, 8 with multiple victories this season, and 54 different European Tour winners in all. Another interesting stat is that the oldest and youngest player has a 30-year spread. What other sport, you know, at the top of the sport can do that? Can you think of one?
No, I can't, no.
Because Miguel Ángel Jiménez is 51 and Matthew Fitzpatrick's 21.
Is there another sport that would have that divide?
That they would play against each other?
No, I can't think it. Tiddlywinks?
Maybe, you know,
I'll tell you what.
3-day eventing or something like that?
Yeah.
Horse riding?
Yes, possibly.
You know, the horse doesn't know how old you are.
Crown bowling, they've got old and...
Crown green bowling,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, they've got old and young there.
There are four rookies in the field, Fitzpatrick, Lahiri and Carlberg, and they are European Tour qualifying school graduates, while Benan is a Challenge Tour graduate. So for those guys to make it through with their different ways on tour, I think it's a tremendous achievement. It really is. So the race to Dubai, Gordon, going from strength to strength?
Very much so, yes. And I think with our new man on our block, is Mr. Pelly, I think it's going to get even stronger and there's going to be some bigger names in next year.
Yeah, let's watch that space, Gordon. It'll be very interesting to see how it develops through the next few seasons, that's for sure. Now, Oosthuizen's got a chance to win the race to Dubai without winning on the European Tour this season. That in itself is amazing, don't you think?
Brilliant. I mean, watched him at the Open. He was fantastic. And I think he's one of the guys who's had least putts on the green and played as many rounds as anyone, which shows how good he's putting. So for him to win, possibly, the race to Dubai without a victory would be incredible. It shows how good he's played consistently.
Well, he'd have to win. He'd have to have a win at the last one.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is then, you know, that's his only win.
Is he your
favourite
swing?
To be in that position.
Has he got your favourite swing?
Oh, yes. Graceful and strong. That's what I can't believe is how smooth it is and how far it goes. But I think also his attitude is great as well.
Yeah,
he's not an up and down man. He just gets on with the job.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player. He just needs a bit of fitness, really.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I don't mean in being fit. I mean just the body breaking down, you know, like in a bit like Chris Wood and a bit like other players who are injury prone.
Sort of the back's
always an issue for him. And give him a 3-year run from now where he's perfectly fit and healthy. See what he can do.
Yeah, it's not a stop-start game, is it, where you're nursing something, you can't do it. It's really difficult because it restricts your practice, I think.
Oh, it sure does. He is a remarkable player. Now, with no further ado, Gordon, let's think about two things. Who's going to win the tournament next week and who's going to win the race to Dubai and be the European number one golfer of the year? Who are you going for in the tournament, first of all?
Justin Rose.
Justin Rose to win?
Yes.
And what about to win everything, the race to Dubai?
Well, I'm going for Danny Willett to take over Rory's position as number one.
So you're going to go for Danny Willett to finish in front of Rory?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a big call.
Cool. It is a big call, but I mean...
Well, you make big calls. That's what you do. But, that's why you're here.
Maybe the only thing against Danny is he's played almost twice as much as Rory. Rory is a class player, but I just think he's going to do it.
Well, I'm going to go for... against you. I'm going to go for Stenson to make it 3 wins in a row. And I'm going to go for Rory to be the number one golfer for 2015.
Fiver?
Let's have a little fiver, yes.
Thank
in
you.
Any currency you want.
Right, okay. I've got some kwacha back
I thought
home.
You might have some kwacha, yeah. Or you can have some dirhams, perhaps, if you want.
I've got everything. I've got a box of African money. You can have it all.
Really? Well, what do you think it's worth altogether? Or, you know, if you tip your box of change in at the Bureau de Change, how much would you get back for all that stuff you've got, the shrapnel?
£4.80.
£4.80, very good. Tell you what, back in your day, that was probably a top 10 finish. That's it for now. Next week, we'll look back at the climax of the 2015 race to Dubai and review the DP World Tour Championship. We'll also look ahead to the start, amazingly, of the 2016 European Tour season in South Africa the following week. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr. from the West Country.
Goodbye, me lovers.
And myself, Robert Lee. Enjoy Dubai. We'll see you next week.